While the fallout continues, both in the form of positive elation among those who stand for life for the unborn, and of course in the form of rage and recrimination by those who claim that their supposed right to kill the unborn trumps all, one of the many strong, consistent voices in this whole long battle for life has been and remains the great ministry we know as Focus on the Family. In fact, Focus President Jim Daly on the decision by the court said, after nearly a half century and over 60 million deaths, the horrifying and tragic ruling of Roe has finally been overturned. It was a bad law then, and a majority of the Supreme Court has affirmed it's a bad law now. No court has the right to deprive a child of the right to live. We celebrate this milestone today and applaud the six justices who have courageously and correctly interpreted the United States Constitution. And joining me also with his own thoughts and perhaps to further elaborate on where to from here for Focus, Attorney Bruce Huskonecht. He serves Focus on the Family as their judicial analyst and also provides legal analysis and commentary for most of the top media outlets all across the country. Bruce, been a while since you and I've talked, but welcome to the show. It's an honor to have you, as always.
Well, thanks, Don. It's great to be on with you again.
Now, talk about something as significant as this exciting ruling. I guess hope against hope that we were told for years we were tilting against windmills, it never would come. So what are your own reactions, or what was your own reaction when the court finally did announce its decision on Friday?
Well, jubilation, in a word. I know we've had some inkling since the Alito draft opinion was leaked on May 2nd, so it didn't come as much of a surprise, but to see it official, in print, as they say, with the imprimatur of the Supreme Court on the opinion, this is just a great time for pro-lifers to be alive. After all these years, we have now really taken down one of the great impediments to building up a culture of life in this country, and we couldn't be any more excited about it than we are here at Focus on the Family.
And should it be noted that this is a grassroots effort? This really does reflect what much more the country has been wanting than what people want to acknowledge. I'm thinking of, for example, the March for Life every year, and how tens and tens of thousands showed up every year in all kinds of weather, and also an increasingly lower demographic in terms of the age of those showing up. In other words, this wasn't just an old people's issue. This really has taken root in the culture at a very deep level, this concern, hasn't it, for life?
Oh, absolutely. And I think because of that grassroots action, we have changed hearts and minds. And as you say, because it's a younger and younger generation that's accepting the truth about life at the early stages after at conception, we've been able to really create a movement that's going to take us years and years into the future. It has been a team effort, and think of all the states with all of their incremental approaches to protecting women and protecting preborn babies over the years. It really has been a sight to behold, and we're finally reached one of the mileposts in our quest to preserve preborn life.
Well, it seems to me there are two mistakes that are in danger of being made, maybe on both sides. First of all, we know the rhetoric has just been crazy as to what was said Friday and what's continued to be said as a mantra throughout the last several days, that we've now totally removed any possibility of a woman getting an abortion in any event. Walk us through again the legal rationale here, that this never was, even from a legal standpoint, it was not a legitimate constitutional decision, but that certainly doesn't end all options for women who feel they have to get an abortion. Am I right?
Yes, yeah. As to the first part, in 1973, when the court invented this right to abortion, they said that it was a fundamental right that it had been around for years and years, fundamental to the United States and the concept of ordered liberty. Well, that proved not to be true, and the Alito opinion painstakingly goes through the history of the United States and even prior to that, where abortion has been outlawed or illegal or even criminalized since time immemorial. So it was never a fundamental part of the United States history. And what was the second part of your question again? Oh, women thinking that, or pro-abortionists thinking that suddenly, you know, abortion is illegal. That's one of the great misconceptions about overturning Roe, and probably why most of these polls that are taken seem to indicate that people wanted to preserve Roe versus Wade. They have thought wrongly that overturning Roe versus Wade made abortion illegal, when all it does is return the issue to the states and to the people, or perhaps to Congress. But it takes it out of the hands of five justices of the Supreme Court. That's all it does. So there's much remaining to be done, but the fears, I guess, of those abortion supporters, or at least the outlandish claims they make, are wrong.
Now, it was, as you just said, a 5-4 decision. One would have hoped it would have been 6-3, but, excuse me, is this not, again, a case in which Chief Justice Roberts has really kind of disappointed folks who thought him to be a thorough conservative? And this piece I'm looking at right now, I think it's from Catholic News Source, says the Chief Justice John Roberts strayed from the pack, as he frequently does. And, of course, he voted in the first case, I guess, to decide the June 24th Mississippi abortion case, Dobbs versus Jackson, but he didn't support removing Roe v. Wade. Can you elaborate on your thoughts as to why he moved in this direction and what more we might expect from him in the future in this regard?
Yeah. The Chief Justice is a huge proponent of judicial restraint, which simply defined means a judge shouldn't do any more than he ought to resolve a case and try not to get too far out ahead of the facts of the case or the law necessary to decide a case. And in theory, that's a good principle for all justices to abide by, and it prevents judicial activism and people inventing rights to abortion and things like that. But in practice, what the chief has done in a couple of cases, whether first it's Obamacare, and a couple of years ago was another abortion case from Louisiana, and today, and now in the Dobbs case, he's found some middle ground that he thinks, or he calls judicial restraint, but it's one in which neither side can identify with, and neither side thinks can be resolved there. So he's picking a middle ground that no one else wants to pick with him, and it kind of perplexed the rest of the majority on the court. You could tell by the way Alito treated the Chief Justice's concurrence. He was quite skeptical of it and dismissed it pretty quickly.
Stephen Breyer, as you know, is leaving as of noon tomorrow. All the court cases, I guess, being announced today that he has sat on. And, of course, Ketanji Brown Jackson now ready to replace him. I believe a thoroughgoing liberal in every sense of the word, from what little bit I know. Your assessment of what the court will look like, again, will it return to kind of a 5-4 situation? And what kind of influence do you think she'll have?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think she's a true blue liberal, and she's replacing a true blue liberal. So we'll continue, I think, to see that ideological positioning on the court. When a lot of 5-4 decisions or 6-3, if the Chief Justice can be won over to the conservative position on any given case.
One more question, and that has to do more with where to from here, both for the nation itself, but also more specifically, Bruce, for you and the folks at Focus on the Family. A lot of pro-life people feeling, certainly, as we said at the outset, a justifiable euphoria over this. But I think a lot of folks need to realize it's been a great victory, but it's by no means the end of the battle. So what do you see in the ongoing struggles that's still ahead of us?
Yeah, we have a lot of litigation that we have to defend. In case anyone's noticed, the abortion industry is attacking state trigger laws that are going into effect once Roe is overturned, and there's a lot of litigation in the state courts going after those, declaring them, trying to get them struck down on state constitutional grounds, and we've got to fight that. We need to pass more legislation, more abortion laws that regulate and restrict abortion. We need the church to come alongside pregnancy resource centers and women and women in general with unplanned pregnancies, as we have been doing over the years. But we're going to have to step up our game and really be there for women. As part of that, we need to, and this is where focus comes in too, we need to further and promote adoption programs. And Focus has one called Wait No More, in which we train churches how to present adoption to their parishioners as an option and how to go about that. So we're training that, training churches to do that. And also with regard to PRCs, we have had option ultrasound working for years, in which Focus offers grants to PRCs to purchase ultrasound machines, which is invaluable, as you know, in helping a woman realize that what she's carrying is a baby and not a clump of tissues. And when women see that ultrasound, they choose life for their child. So, and also we have to keep our eyes on the prize of defunding Planned Parenthood in Congress, especially with regard to Medicaid reimbursements and Title X grants. There's no reason why the nation's largest abortion seller should be profiting at the expense of the American taxpayer.
It's a big battlefield, but we have to remain on the front lines, my friend, don't we? Thank you so much for talking with us about it today.
You're so welcome, Don. Good talking with you.
Again, Bruce House Connect. Bruce is the attorney serving Focus on the Family as judicial analyst, also speaking to the issues of life and so forth throughout the country, really, on all the major networks. I'm sure that you've seen him, heard him on those venues as well.